And I put that Christ for the Nations Bible Institute. You can read it. Put it on back on the board. One brother you'll be hearing from. I believe you'll be hearing from this brother soon, as they'd like you to come for a time of ministry. That's in Germany. Some brother got excited. However, don't forget you have a standing invitation. Come here and visit with your friends in England and so on. Well, I had no desire to go to England or any place else. But what do you do? So some people don't even like the television and the church. It boggles the mind. But like the prophecy said this morning, you know, when you get on the right track, the burden of the Lord is light. What pastors have to watch out for in particular is trying to do it themselves. See, boy, you can go down so fast. We took 2 days vacation. Well, during the 2 days, we spent $11 on phone calls, not counting a call to Georgia and a call to Texas made against our home phone for the school. 2 days of vacation out of a year like we had. You very fast, you can start fighting the battle, right? So, praise the Lord. So, well, you've got to pray for me because I'm trying to keep my priorities right. And my prayer is, Lord, I don't mind closing off the radio ministry. I don't mind doing anything because we don't beg and put on a program. That's not what we're trying to do. The same way with the school. If we have a school and the poor kids can go, or if they can't go, or whatever, they're God's children and God's business, and God has all the money in the world. If we can't send books to Bryce, we can't send them. Maybe it's premature. That's what I have to say to myself. I can't finance all these things. And I could say nothing and just close it off, which is what I usually do anyway, you know, so to speak. But I have to be fair to you to tell you, you can't put another $10 in the offering. You have to decide where you fit. See, I don't let you off the hook like that. You have to decide where you fit. You can't give $50 or $100 or $1,000 and say, that's it, I feel better now. Now I can go spend $500 at $5,000 because I'm sick of my new living room decor. You can't do that. I can't do it. We don't have a room in the house that the furniture matches. We can't do that. Because whatever we spend, and we don't stint ourselves, well, we do and we don't. We don't need anything more than we have. We have enough. You can only eat one meal at a time, right? We have plenty. The Thompsons do not need. But you have to decide, and I have to decide, like Bob said, it isn't later. Oh, saints, I don't know how I could say that any plainer. It will not be true that next year. Listen, I've lived to see men make wrong decisions. I could tell you right now about a guy that I had sweet fellowship with in Bible school. He took a wrong turn in the road. Today, he's barely coherent. He's quite well-to-do. But his spiritual life is wiped out. Because you think someday it's going to be there. I'll have my bills paid. We'll have enough net spendable to live. And then I'm going to serve God. But I've got a secret. It never comes. It never comes. It never comes. It's always today. And the man that says, I'm going to accept the Lord, I know when I'm older right now, I just can't give up these things. I can't give up rock and roll. I can't. It's just asking too much. But I'm going to do it. And one of these days, I'm going to get saved. Let me tell you something. You will come to your deathbed. And you will lay there and you will say, I don't have the strength. This life, it just never gets here. You have to take a hold of yourself. And you just have to say, now! I know. I've lived long enough to see it happen, and I've ministered to people on their deathbed. And I've seen people start out in Christian school and end up in the world, and start out in Bible school and end up in the world, and get off here on this false doctrine and end up paddling in a lagoon, and get off in this spiritual presumption, and get off in this criticizing the ministry and end up burning your spirit, not even seeing it. You know, we live through all of this. And you can't do any more than tell people and point them out to the glories of the kingdom and the riches that are there. And you only have one life. It might be 20 years. It might be 30 years. I was thinking about this the other morning. And I don't say very often in this church, the Lord told me this or told me that. But when He does, I tell you. And I think the Lord said this to me. The laborers are few. And the word laborer was emphasized. It isn't the Christians are few. And the word few was emphasized in my mind. Truly, truly. There's such a harvest. But the laborers are few. Well, I'm not. This is no preachment on money, believe me. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a point of view. You can't buy it. You can't put another dollar, $100, or $1,000. That isn't where it is. You have to say, this is the kingdom where I am. And then you have to decide, I want to be in the prison ministry. Or I want to be in the book ministry. All that we do here is open up to you adventures in the Lord. And if you leave the church and go on that adventure, the good has been done. We're not asking people to come here or give here. We merely just happened to be hit all of a sudden with the radio and the books and the tape. I'm not quite sure how it all came up. And then something happened in the school that we weren't looking for, so that has presented another problem. But you see, you have to say to yourself, you can't cop onto the church or react against it. You have to go home and react against God. And you have to think about these children. We have a little boy in the congregation named David. He wants to go to a Christian school. He's junior high age. Never be able to afford it if we put up the money, but we'd have to pay pay the salaries. So you can go home and you can say, well, it's none of my business. Whether David goes to Christian school or not, it's none of my business. You know, after all, that's his problem. And then the Lord watches you while you walk into Walker Scott. You think, why should I buy a sweater on sale? After all, I'm a king's kid. Why don't I buy cashmere? See? But the difference is David. That's the difference between you and the Ford and you and the better car is David. That's what I'm talking about. Not a good offering this morning. That's not it. We're not taking another offering. We're not going to take another offering. I'm not going to make it that easy. You have to be converted. You have to be converted. Your pocketbook has to be converted. Preachers have said that, but that's why I hate even to say it. I don't even want to be associated with that game. I have to be converted. We have to be converted to say, if I have to drive a car that's burning oil and is a mess, and it because some child in that church or some other church wants to go to school but he can't because his mother can't afford it, and he has said, I want to be in a Christian school, I'll just make do. See, it's a whole different style of life. You can't compare yourself with anyone in the church. You can't do that. Because that's, again, you'll say, well, I'm doing as good as anyone. If you do that, you'll miss God's best for your life. You'll never see the Lord, just the church. Never the Lord. You'll never see Him. You'll die with the church, and you'll be rewarded with the church. And you'll go where the church goes. And you'll say in that day, I was just as good as you. And I said, I was just as good as you. And you'll end up throughout eternity saying to people, I was just as good as you. We have to make our covenant with the Lord. And for some people, it's time. Like for Bryce, it's his whole life. For other people, it's money. I don't talk about 10%. You've never heard me preach once on tithing. And you never will. You never will. Because you cannot buy God. You could under the old covenant. You cannot under the new. You cannot buy God. Right? We're not Jews. Under the Christian covenant, you're dead. The Jew was alive in this world, and in order to stay alive and healthy and prosperous, he didn't work on Saturday. He gave 10% of his money. He paid the temple tax. He attended the three great convocations of Israel. He obeyed the dietary laws and attended the synagogue. And then he could live. That was a religious demand upon him. That's for a man who is alive. But you see, we're, you and I, in the new covenant, were born crucified. That's why we are not under the law of the Sabbath. Because the law has control over a man as long as he is alive. And you and I were born dead. They, if you then be crucified with Christ. We were baptized, and we're going to have a water baptism, and Paul is going to be baptizing. So if you want to be baptized, notify Paul. Please do that if you haven't been baptized. When you are baptized in water, you're no longer alive. What that means is that you are dead on the cross. Water baptism is not church membership. Water baptism is entrance into the new covenant of God. And it means that you have left the world. It doesn't fit me, and this is bothering me, and that is bothering me. Very hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard on families. It's hard, I think, more particularly perhaps on the women than even on the men, to say to them, you don't have the security of a home and family. That's not what God has called you to. It's not what God has called you to. If you have a husband that wants to serve God, take advantage of it. Because if you don't allow him to do what God has called him to, you'll have 900 years to discuss it with him like Eve had to discuss with Adam why she did what she did. That must have been a honey of a relationship. For 900 years, as Adam came in with his back broken, the tears streaming down his face, and looked at Eve. Take a lot of grace. And when Eve was bringing forth children in agony, you know, and she's thinking, why didn't he stand? So be careful what kind of pressures you put on people. God hasn't called us to live in this world. And that's not theology. That's experiential. We are called, when we're baptized in water, to forsake our life. That means everything goes on the altar. Not in talk. Not in, I know, but I know what everybody else is doing. No, not that. That's cynical. And it is evasive. And God will not accept it. You have to go to God yourself. All that any minister does is to interpret and to guide and help you to keep away from the many, many errors that are in the land. And they are in the land. They certainly are. My goodness, are they ever. And so, I don't talk much about money. Because you can't buy it. You can't give part of, you can't give 50%, you can't give 80%, you can't give 30%. God, I'm not interested in the percentage gains. What you do is you look at a situation. You say, well, there's Bryce, and he's in Germany. And he wants books. He's all excited because revival's going. Because Bryce is going around, and they're giving him the chapel and services in these big places, and all of this is going on and everything, and he's giving it, you know, giving this fast, it comes in and he gives it away. You got to think of that when you buy something or go on your vacation. Then you got these kids that want to go to a Christian school but can't afford it, so they have to go over where the little girls in the high school now have to compromise their virginity in order to keep from getting their head beat in. Or didn't you know that was going on? Where the kids have to wait all day to go to the bathroom because they don't dare go in the toilet for fear they'll get stuck with a knife or they'll have to pay for dope or some other thing. So rather than do that, they'd like to come to Christian school. We say, sorry, Charlie. Can't afford it. But boy, when I get down, I think, oh, why should I buy a secondhand car? I should buy a new one. Everybody knows the only car you can afford is a Cadillac. Because in the long run, it saves gas and oil. You know, when you figure everything together, it's the only car you can really afford to drive. You know how easy it is to sell your thing? So, how many know that it's easy to sell yourself? Do you know that? It's easy when you want something to develop a rationale. Do you know that? Oh, brother. And you have to think about the radio. I say, well, the people didn't respond. Well, maybe they're not hearing it. Boy, that's what I say. Maybe they're not hearing it. I hope not. If we cut it off, I hope nobody's listening. Well, the cut off. Well, what did the Great Commission say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, that means 10 years from now. Well, why should I have to settle for second best? After all, nobody else is. Today. And you know a thing, another thing too, God doesn't want our money. Do you think God is broke? You think God needs the scrapings out of the offering plate? God Almighty. Now he doesn't need a nickel. He doesn't need a thing. He is wealthy beyond anyone's ability to conceive. He could support every child in the world in a Christian school without really getting overdrawn on his account. God doesn't need anybody's money. And if a preacher needs the money from the people, he's going at it wrong. He's serving the people. He's not serving God. He's serving the people. So he has to go to the people for his money. Now, why then does God make a room to give? Do you know why? Like when dad gives his little children money so they can buy him a Father's Day present. That's all. You have to take what God has given you and give it back to him. Well, what sense does that make? It's the love. Did you ever have your child come and give you a piece of paper with some crayon scribbled on it? And you frame it. Do you need this? Why did you frame? Because you wanted the relationship. Now that's why I say you can't do it by giving in the offering plate, because God doesn't want, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. All that God does is say, well, here's the kids in Christian school, and here's Bryce, and here's this other, and here's the air conditioner, whatever. Some people like to put their money in facilities. They're just more comfortable with something tangible. And frittering it away in the radio that you can't see anything. Why would God want you to give? He can support the radio. He can support all of these things. Well, God has no need. Well, what then is the purpose if we're not supporting it? It's because you only have a few brief years to determine your relationship to God and your love for Jesus Christ and your eternal destiny. And if you show God, and God gives you things and the power to gain wealth and everything, and God looks down at you and says, how are you doing, son? You know, there's things here that are going to mean a lot to people. Where are your values? How are you doing? And you show your industrious little self, and you're clutching, or any of us are clutching our little thing, and we see the needs and we say, I can't do it. We create a selfish personality. We create a grasping personality, and that's what we bring into eternity. A little, shut up. Oh, when I get in heaven, I'll give like 60. No, it'll be too late. Your personality will be formed. This is the only chance you have, and that I have. Sober words. I don't know how to make them more sober, and I hope they don't come across as browbeating, because they're not. I'm confused. I am really confused that I listen to the radio, and I read books, and I hear the stuff that we hear, and some is passive, and some is overly spiritually ambitious and just gets into the peeping and the muttering, and others are trying to use metaphysical faith to gain money, and others are assuring God's people that He's love and everybody's going to be all right. I hear this constant din of voices, and I keep saying, no, 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 no. That's not the way. So maybe my place is to just go back to work or something and sit home and write books. Do like, there was a composer that did that. Can't think of his name. He's a modern American. They just took all his stuff and buried it in the ground. Years later, they dug it up. Personally, I think they should have left it buried. I've heard some of it, and it's terrible. But he's in now. He's in with the other musicians that I don't relate to. But he did. He took all his stuff. He said, none of this is worth anything, and he buried it all. Well, I don't intend to do that. I'm going to serve the Lord. Praise God. And I'm going to tell all you guys fairly, and I say, here are the needs. This is what God has brought us to thus far. Where we go from here, now it may not be God's will for us to do anything. Maybe we should retrench. But if we do, we bear the responsibility together, and we have made a calculated judgment. And we have said we will preserve our way of life first. Because if other people don't send the kids to school free, why should we? But some do. That's why we call Georgia, because that's what they do in that school that we call. And we were trying to find out the details. How does this work? It doesn't cost you a thin dime. You go free. It's part of the church. A lot of schools are doing that today, because that's the right way to run a Christian school, not like a business. Part of the church. Train up a child in the way he should go. So, we make that judgment, and in the day of the Lord will say, well, you knew. You can't ever say, well, I didn't know what to do, Lord. I was waiting for the call. And the Lord will say, well, you had this opportunity and that opportunity, and I told you to go into the harvest. But. So, praise the Lord. Now, what kind of a Sunday morning message is that? I didn't even read the scripture. Not terrible. Well, hallelujah. Well, Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you the scripture, and then we'll have a closing prayer, God willing. It's in Romans 6. This is what I was going to read. And I'm not going to take off now on a lengthy exegesis of the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, being careful to observe all Greek variants of the text. Romans 6, very simple, since people are going to get baptized in water. Now, what I want you to do, and of course you do this in your imagination, don't do this visibly. I want you to include your pocketbook in this, all right? All annuities, all retirement systems. I had to leave mine for the state of California, put in their half. Can you imagine how much money that was? A lot of dollars. But God didn't say, after the state of California puts in their half, He said, leave. And it's a good thing we did, too, because we came just in time. Because of this church. God had it geared around this church, which we never even heard of. And He didn't say, stay around. One place in the scripture, there was a king of Judah. And he had hired the king of Israel, I believe it was, for a million talents, or some preposterous amount of money, whatever it was, a great amount of money. And a prophet came to the king of Judah, and he said, "Why didn't you trust the Lord? Why did you hire this wicked king to help you?" And the king of Judah didn't want to go through with it because the Lord rebuked him and he knew he'd lose. And he says, "How about my million?" And this is what the Bible says. The Lord said to him through the prophet, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." So much for the state of California teacher's return. So, in this Romans 6, this includes the company bonds, stocks, your wealth. Your wealth. Every penny. Everyone. Land. Everything. You remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? What did they hold back? Land. Land. We sold it and brought it to the apostles' feet. The only people slain by the power of God in the New Testament writings, people who held back real estate. Peter said, "It was in your power. Nobody asked you for that land." What was their motive? The apostles never had. The apostles wouldn't even serve tables. They said, "We're going to pray and minister the word. If you've got financial problems, set men over it. We're not going to touch it. Work that stuff out." And they came and laid the money at the apostles' feet. Near their head, were still in the clouds from being with Jesus Christ for 3 years. "Is this what you sold the land?" "Yes." "Why? What profit those people?" Peter said, "What, it was yours? Nobody asked for it. God loves a cheerful giver." Why would they do that? To try to get half in the kingdom and hedge their bets. See? Nobody knows, but, you know, look, Sapphira, honey, just a little bit aside. Just a little bit set by. What's the difference? We've given half of it. The only two. So we're not talking about all except the vacation land somewhere. We're talking about when you die, it's your wealth, the kingdom. Not because God needs it, not because the church needs it, because you need to die to this world and this system of America, which is going to end up bankrupt. Yes, it is. That's what all the economists are saying. We're inflated out of sight. We're working on a Ponzi scheme right now. The retirement systems, both federal, state, and industrial, are bankrupt. They're Ponzi schemes. We know that. They're just taking in money now in the front door to pay the people in the back door. And as people grow older, this thing is heading toward inevitable collapse. It's not fiscally sound, and everybody knows it. And all that God is saying, "Would you like to be rightly related to me while you have the power to do that? Or would you rather wait until it's taken away from you? Because if that happens, you'll lose doubly. You'll lose all your money, but you'll never have had a chance to show God what you could do when it was still in your power to do. That chance may be gone forever in a few years. You just say, 'I'm sorry, Lord.' Lord said, 'Well, we'll go from here.' That's where we are. But how about the little boy wannabe in Christian school in August of 1980? How about him? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? Romans 6. May it never be. How shall we who are died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? You know what was baptized into his death? Your retirement plan. Your stocks. Your annuities. Your vacation land. We're baptized into Christ's death. Because they are you. They are the extension of your power to act. And they were baptized into Christ's death. They're on the cross. You can't give 10% of that. They're on the cross. They're on the cross. All of us. All of us. As long as there's one David who wants to go to a Christian school, as long as there's one Bryce that wants to give away a book because he's rejoicing in the Lord, as long as there's one person who hasn't heard the gospel of the kingdom, you can't give 10%. You give what God tells you to give. No more, no less. Some people in this church give too much, and I've told them so. And they tried to give me money. I said, I will not take it. They know who they are. It's wrong. It's robbery for a burnt offering, and I won't participate in it. You have to decide what is right. You don't get religious nuts. You set your house in order. And like Bob said, if 4,000 coming in is frittering through your fingers, God will hold you accountable for the spending of it. He will. He sure will. Or do you not know we were baptized into his death? And people are going to be baptized. Remember this. This is what happened to you. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We'll have more speaking on that, of his resurrection, as time goes on, because we do have a simple, straight doctrine here on the Lord's second coming, and I don't want it made complex with mystical teachings. So we'll be going back and pointing out once again to you the very simple doctrine that we have, which is apostolic, that the Lord is coming again and we're going to rise to meet him, and there will be no secret comings. I say in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. Oh, saints, some have had a problem with a bondage of sin. Let me tell you why that sin is still holding on. It's holding on because you have never declared yourself dead. You have never assented finally, once and for all, I am dead. Being dead doesn't mean that you can't sin. Being dead is, see, the person who holds on to something. Well, we'll take rock and roll records because I think no one in this church is particularly bothered with hard rock or acid rock. Let's use that so we won't be pointing fingers at anyone. And let's say this was a terrible bondage to you, a terrible thing. Someone said, oh, I'd love to give it up, but I can't, I just can't let go. You know why? Because you have never oriented yourself to the fact that this world is no longer yours. You see what I'm saying? The same thing is true with the money problem. Oh, I know I should do it. Brother Thompson talked about, I know that, I can just feel it in myself, I feel I'm fearing away, but I just can't, you know, like the kid with the rock and roll, it's just like yanking teeth. Well, once you say, I am dead to this world, then the car dies, and the stocks die, and the land dies, and all hope of security dies. And then those demons, and they are demons, of smoking, I've seen that by revelation, and drinking, and profanity, and the other thing, and nagging at your husband because he's trying to serve the Lord, or the man trying to keep his wife from serving the Lord, or whatever the hang-up is, it will crash. Because it no longer matters. You're oriented toward another world and a another kingdom. And if this day you were to lose every penny, and all it would take would be for someone in your family to develop leukemia, that's all it would take, or some other such thing, or you're driving home, or your child's driving home, and he runs into somebody and kills two children, in one day, you're penniless, because your insurance won't cover that, unless you're carrying 10 and 25. Okay? So one moment you're worrying, oh, do I dare? Do I dare? Oh, I know the Lord is telling me I should be supporting that radio program myself, but oh, I can't even think of $250 a week. Oh! And then all of a sudden, you're negligent, and you're facing a $15 or $20 million lawsuit, and you're dead financially. You know what happens? How many know what happens? I'm not talking to the Wizard of Oz. I'm talking about life. And all of a sudden, your whole set of values change, and you hope, I hope that His Honor will leave me enough to pay the rent on my house. I hope I don't have to go down and rub that guy's back for the rest of his life, as well as giving him all my money and my property. When I get it sold, it goes to him. And then what does it mean? To tender a cottage. Now your thoughts are heavenward. Now you walk like Jesus. And you know what to say? Thank God I'm free. You don't have to worry about your interest because you have no capital. You don't have to worry about anything because you have no security. See? That's the way Jesus lived. Reckon yourself dead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel better now. There's nothing like the yoke of the Lord to heal you. Better, I'll tell you, than being sleeping in a motel. Spend $11 in phone bills out of a motel. The last time I do that, 2-day vacation. I'll call collect from now on, so get rid.
Oh, Lord, we love you. Because you're a wonderful Lord. And Lord, I know your posture toward us is very gentle. You entreat us as children. You would, Lord, that our eyes were open, that we might not sink ourselves with the weight of our own riches and permit the values of the kingdom to slip through our fingers in the fleeting days we have. And Lord, I've spoken my heart. I would not hold back from these dear people a thing. There's no games, Lord. We're not playing games with one another. We're simply saying what's on our heart, and everyone's free to do that. Now, Lord, we love you. And, Lord, you have our stocks and our insurance and our annuities and all of our collateral investments. They're not ours, Lord. We're not half in this world and half in the kingdom. We just haven't recognized it as yet, Lord. And we're buying something with our money, Lord. Or should I say, we're selling something to get money. We're selling the kingdom of God, just as Esau did, for that which is temporary and immediately gratifying. Lord, that puts us in the class with the foolish, if we're doing that. And I know, Lord, you'll help the Davids, and you'll help the Bryces, and you'll help the people whoever they may be. But we missed it for ourselves, Lord. So what do we say, Lord? Here we are in this church, and you know the opportunities there are for giving and for serving. And Lord, we would not lay a burden on a soul, Lord, because we know you wouldn't accept it. It has to be not only cheerful, but the thing we want to do more than anything else in the world. So Lord, we have our song, and we have our dance, and we have our peace and our love and joy. And Lord, we pray for every one of us here that we may never lose it. We may never miss one child or one opportunity to serve you, Lord.
I say rather amplify our opportunities, Lord. Amplify them. And if we have to draw back, Lord, and we have to retrench to be business-like and to do what is right, then, Lord, I pray for understanding that I may not in any way, Lord, quit what you're telling me to do, but somehow find the avenue that you have elected, God. I feel responsible, and I will not back up, Lord, unless you say back up. So just show us in your wisdom, Lord, the right way through all of these intricate things. Give us love toward all men. Hallelujah. That there may be nothing in our heart but the love of God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Let's just love him, saints. He's so wonderful. He truly has given so much. He didn't give us money. He gave us his son. You can't weigh Christ against money. God deals with people. And he gave us his son. And Lord, we want to give without money and without price. And we'll give books and we'll give education and we'll give the radio without expecting response. We'll give and give and give, Lord, till it's obvious foolishness. So, Lord, just help us. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.